Lawmakers grilled the nation's top tech CEOs in a virtual hearing today.
Representative David Cicilline said their dominance is, quote, killing the small businesses, manufacturing, and overall dynamism that are the engines of the American economy.
And the tech giants fought back. We'll have the play-by-play. Plus, what the Fed is saying about the state of the pandemic economy. It's Wednesday, July 29th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Despite efforts to rein in the impact of the coronavirus, Federal Reserve officials say the pandemic will continue to, quote, weigh heavily on the economy in the medium term. The central bank wrapped up its two-day policy meeting today, keeping interest rates at near zero. Our chief economics commentator, Greg Ipp, has more on key takeaways from Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
Powell told us that he and his colleagues at the Fed, they're looking at a lot of data right now. Not the stuff you see in official government reports, but things like real-time credit card spending. And they've seen a pronounced slowing in the economy, in spending, and in jobs. Now, they haven't seen a reversal, so they don't think the economy is going back in a recession. But the pace of growth has definitely slowed a lot from a very rapid pace in May and June. The reason for this, Powell made clear, was that there's been a spike in virus cases, especially in the Sunbelt states. In fact, the linkage was so noteworthy that the Fed put these words into its statement. The quote, the path of the economy will depend significantly on the course of the virus.
The Fed has bought $2.5 trillion in assets since March. But the central bank is trying to pivot from a program focused primarily on stabilizing markets toward one that provides stimulus. Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas has tested positive for the coronavirus. Gohmert was known for walking around the Capitol without a mask, including during portions of yesterday's House Judiciary Committee hearing. He was seen walking behind Attorney General William Barr in the hallway. Barr is now being tested as well. The state of Oregon and the Trump administration have reached a deal over the controversial deployment of federal agents to Portland. Governor Kate Brown says state police will deploy to the city's downtown. Federal agents will leave the area beginning tomorrow, but still remain in the city. Local officials have argued that the presence of federal forces has stoked tensions in the city and caused the protests to grow. In earnings news, Boeing is making further cuts to its commercial jet production and its workforce after taking a $2.4 billion hit in the second quarter. The aerospace giant says it's expecting a multi-year slowdown in aircraft deliveries due to the pandemic and the prolonged grounding of its 737 MAX jets. Boeing's downturn has had a ripple effect. General Electric also reported a loss of roughly $2 billion in the latest quarter amid steep declines in its jet engine business. GE produces engines for Boeing and Airbus, but with a decline in travel, airlines have been cutting orders. GE's revenue fell 24% in the second quarter. Coming up after the break, tech CEOs and lawmakers go head-to-head over online competition.
I share the committee's belief that competition promotes innovation, that it makes space for the next great idea, and that it gives consumers more choices.
We're here to talk about online platforms, but I think the true nature of competition is much broader. When Google bought YouTube, they could compete against the dominant player in video, which is the cable industry. When Amazon bought Whole Foods, they could compete against Kroger's and Walmart. When Facebook bought WhatsApp, we can compete against telcos who used to charge 10 cents a text message, but not anymore. Now people can watch video, get groceries delivered, and send private messages for free. That's competition. New companies are created all the time, all over the world. And history shows that if we don't keep innovating, someone will replace every company here today.
That's Apple's Tim Cook and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. They, along with Google's Sundar Pichai and Amazon's Jeff Bezos, faced a slew of questions from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle about their company's business practices and whether they're stifling competition. Our tech and politics reporter Emily Glazer was following the hours-long House Antitrust Subcommittee hearing, which was still ongoing when we spoke. So, Emily, this is a wide-ranging hearing addressing a myriad of issues surrounding big tech. Let's pull out some of them. Competition is a big concern here. This is an antitrust hearing, and a lot of questions have been over how these companies treat competitors.
Yes, this has come up several times in the hearing already. Representative David Cicilline said their dominance is, quote, killing the small businesses, manufacturing, and overall dynamism that are the engines of the American economy.
As gatekeepers of the digital economy, these platforms enjoy the power to pick winners and losers, to shake down small businesses, and enrich themselves while choking off competitors. Their ability to dictate terms, call the shots, upend entire sectors, and inspire fear represent the powers of a private government. Our founders would not bow before a king, nor should we bow before the emperors of the online economy.
So right off the bat, Cicilline came out swinging in that regard. He pressed Google CEO about how the search giant treats competitors. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, in his prepared remarks, did say that third-party sellers account for about 60% of sales on Amazon. He was hit pretty hard by Representative Jayapal, who asked a lot about how they treat competitors. And Apple CEO Tim Cook also defended changes to Apple's App Store, and that impacts developers. So it's kind of coming on a bunch of different fronts, but we have already seen CEOs have to put up their defenses.
And another big issue as we're heading into the election, especially, is the role that big tech plays or should play, perhaps, in policing user content and rooting out disinformation. There's been questioning on that, too.
Yes, right from the start, Representative Jim Jordan, a Republican from Ohio, said in his opening remarks that big tech companies have an anti-conservative bias.
I'll just cut to the chase. Big tech's out to get conservatives. That's not a suspicion. That's not a hunch. That's a fact.
He really started listing, you know, many different things that the various companies have done that he thought was anti-conservative, and ran through this whole list where it was whether taken down posts or content that he said was censored. He also pointed to instances that Twitter has undertaken similar actions. The tech companies have said that they are not biased, but I'll just quote Mr. Jordan, who said, "What's not great is censoring people, censoring conservatives, and impacting elections." So we expect this to continue to be a theme as we go through this monster long hearing.
Now, what role could the government play on these issues? We've reported on a number of antitrust inquiries into big tech. What's under consideration by lawmakers looking into whether more regulation is necessary?
Good question. There is a lot going on here. We've seen the Federal Trade Commission, which is investigating, you know, Facebook and Google. States' attorneys generals are investigating big tech companies. I think one thing that really stood out to us was President Trump, who has been critical of tech firms, really jumped into the debate and tweeted ahead of the hearing, quote, "If Congress doesn't bring fairness to big tech, which they should have done years ago, I will do it myself with executive orders," end quote. Our understanding is that the Trump administration is expected to file an antitrust suit against Google as soon as this summer, and is also investigating several other big tech firms. So we're really seeing regulators and different agencies kind of piling on the antitrust side with big tech, similar to what we've seen years ago with the banking industry.
So we are, of course, speaking while this hearing is still underway, expected to take several hours in total. What moments have stood out to you so far?
Yes, it's been an interesting one, certainly not boring. We've seen Google CEO was really pressed early on and kind of, I would say, had the heat in the beginning. And, you know, he faced a lot of questions, whether it was about Google's operation in China. And, you know, he was asked about how they treat competitors. He wasn't given a whole lot of time to respond and was repeatedly cut off. Another representative, Jayapal, who's actually based in Washington State, is really going hard after Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. That took a little while to get into it on that part of the hearing. He's facing a lot of questions that's actually about Wall Street Journal reporting and how data is used, how they treat third-party sellers, and has said that they're still looking into some of the allegations in the article. And Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, unsurprisingly, has also been getting the heat. There were questions about the Instagram acquisition and others more broadly.
This is a pretty rare moment to have these four CEOs appearing together, albeit virtually. What else are we hearing from them in defense of their companies? Are there any common through lines?
I think what we've heard them say is that technology and entrepreneurship is a lot about the American spirit, and that their companies have done a lot that helps the country and also helps us connect, especially during coronavirus, where technology is even more important and keeps us connected. So I would say kind of those two aspects about how they help both the country as a whole and their American-made companies, and also how technology helps to connect people.
Emily, do we know what comes next after this big hearing? What are the next steps for lawmakers?
Typically, what happens with congressional hearings is that there are often a lot of follow-up questions, and the CEOs or whoever's testifying may not have specifics. And so then there will be a round of back and forth between various lawmakers' offices and the company at hand, where they go through some of the follow-ups. Sometimes they ask to produce certain documents. We have been seeing documents that were previously asked for are showing up on the House Judiciary Committee's website right now. So a lot of those were not known before. They're getting the companies to disclose more information, but we often see even more disclosures and back and forth that happens privately after the fact.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Emily Glazer. Emily, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And for our full coverage of today's hearing, check back on WSJ.com and on the WSJ app. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.